So have you heard about this new reality show that's coming out soon?
Maybe.
It's called Rocket Man and the Human Reject.
I don't know about this one.
The Rocket Man is a reference to Kim Jong-un. And the Human Reject is what Kim Jong-un calls Donald Trump.
Oh, he calls him that?
Yeah, he called him the lunatic, mean old trickster and human reject.
Okay, now hold on a second, John. Lunatic, mean old trickster, that's good. That's my president right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's the guy I want running the show. That's the guy I want adding 300,000 jobs in the first month of the year, John. That's my president.
Yeah, this summit's going to be a spectacle for sure. If it ever happens.
Rodman's going to be there, right?
Yeah, I think so. He's the envoy.
Right?
It's going to be fun.
He's the one who's going to set up getting the hookers for the two of them.
Yes. And Stormy Daniels, Davis, Daniels, she'll be there.
Stormy Daniels will not be there, John.
She'll be there.
She will not be there, okay? She has a non-disclosure agreement, okay?
Got it. Somebody will show up.
But who will pay her to be there? That's the question.
Yeah, somebody will. Yeah. What was the guy's name?
Trump's lawyer.
Trump's lawyer, yeah. Apparently he was communicating with her with Trump's email, or not Trump's email, but Trump company email. So kind of ties them together a little, just a tad.
Here's the thing. Who cares?
I don't care about the infidelity stuff. I just care about
None of this matters.
Yeah,
it's Donald Trump. What did everyone think was happening when they were like, oh, you know what would be hilarious is if Hillary only had to go up against Donald Trump. Oh, that would be hilarious. It would be a landslide. Oh.
Well, you could run for president and have a shot. It could happen.
Look, man, I don't want this stuff that's in my closet coming out. I like it neatly tucked away, private. No one knows. I don't want people asking for my tax returns.
No, me neither.
Okay, let's just say, I'm not saying that it's illegal what I do, but let's just say it's a little bit on the borderline.
A little maneuvering,
Look, I have multiple corporations is all I'm saying.
Oh.
And they're all legitimate, and I pay all the significant fees for said corporations. And I don't even do like that shady shyster thing of like setting up in Delaware.
Right, offshore, you have any offshore accounts?
Nothing offshore, nope, it's all by the book, but it's like, it's the edge of the book, and it's sort of like out towards the very edge of the margin, and it may be a misprint. I don't know. My metaphor is getting all mixed up. Let's talk about some stuff. We got stuff. First up, hey, we want people to rate and review. Oh, you want to do? Oh, you're going to. Okay.
Episode 58.
Yes.
Of Foul Territory, a baseball podcast, the Jonathan Papelbon episode.
Nice. I love it.
I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney. Let's talk about Jonathan Papelbon for just a second here. First of all, a great Red Sox player. And then what happened to him afterwards was hilarious. When he goes to the Phillies, and then they hate him, and then he gets traded to the Nationals, and then he gets into a fight with Bryce Harper. All great theater. I loved it. He's a multimillionaire. He'll be happy for the rest of his life.
Yes.
One of the funniest jokes I ever wrote for the old site was when Jonathan Papelbon said he thought that Phillies fans were the smartest baseball fans in the league. The joke I came up with, yes, but are they dumb enough to believe him? I love the way that joke works on itself so much. It's not like the funniest joke. It's the one of the best jokes.
That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah, I liked it. Anyway, sorry, I got Papelboned there. Hey, if you like this show, rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. If you're listening to us on the website, that's cool too. We appreciate the extra traffic on the website, the foul-territory.com website, a baseball website about baseball. But, you know, give us rate and review. You could do a comment, but that doesn't really help us on the site. But if you go to, maybe you listen on the site, but then you also have an iTunes account, right? And you just pop over to iTunes and just rate it, review it. Say, hey, these guys are hilarious. They crack me up. I keep coming back every week or every 10 days, depending on when they get the podcast out.
Are we ready to talk about some baseball?
Talking about some baseball.
Headlines. This week's headlines. So yeah. The biggest thing about this week is everybody's going home.
As the millennial doth returneth to his parents' basement, so doth the baseball players to their previous teams.
So big, just within the last 2 days, a whole bunch of people going home.
Yeah, it's very nice. Did the cargo deal go through? Is that still just
I think it's rumored? Strongly rumored. But the other two rumors that percolated this week happened within, 48 hours. These were done deals.
Yeah, so Ichiro's for sure back to Seattle.
Yeah, he had his news conference yesterday.
And he might, he's going to get some more at-bats and da-da-da-da-da.
Sell some more tickets, a few more promos.
Though, interestingly, he says he wants to be very clear. He didn't say that he wanted to play until he was 50. He said he wanted to play at least until he's 50.
Right. So, he could play until he's 60. He wants to challenge Mini Minosa.
Yeah.
For the
No real speed or power or bat-to-ball skills. Why not? Why not just keep playing? Just roll him on out there.
Well, one of the things when he was with the Marlins that players were talking about was that he has home run power, but he's never really gone for the home run.
Oh, swing. Is that what they were saying when he was with the Marlins and then when he was with the Yankees and then when he was with the Mariners? They've always said this about him.
But he hasn't done
Everyone always said it. He's never done it. He's never going to do it.
But in BP he does, apparently, but he just doesn't during games because, who wants to be a home run hitter?
Right, exactly. Because he can't do it in games, so he does like his little slap thing and, whatever, on-base sort of-ish thing, though last year was not so great. Anyway, hey, it's a great story, man. It's feel good. I'm not sure I would have done that if I was the Mariners, if you're actually competing, but why not?
Well, I don't know if they are actually competing. I think there was a promo grab there, a little PR grab.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't have the pitching to be ultra-competitive, so.
I feel like, the problem is that the American League is so stacked right now, right, with the playoff teams. Like, if the Angels were just a little bit worse.
And the Astros had a fall from grace.
The Astros can be great. Like, you just want to get into the playoffs, because then anything can happen. You can have a terrible team, not a terrible team, you can have the worst team in the playoffs and still roll on through. Just ask the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's a team that has, or a division that has three teams. We've had that a couple times in the last few years. So, but it ain't happening in the AL West, that's for sure. I would be surprised if the Mariners rose to that level. They don't have the pitching.
Yeah.
But they have the speed and they have the defense, but they don't have the pitching.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway, and then Mike Moustakas couldn't find any work.
So before the hot stove league cooled off, there was all this talk about Moustakas signing a 5-year deal in the 60 to 90 million range, and he winds up signing a 1-year $6.5 million deal.
Oof.
Wah wah, with some incentives.
I think basically. And this is really just the Royals saying, like, hey, look, we're really sorry things didn't work out for you. Come play for us for a year.
Right.
But basically, he's getting paid what he got paid last year.
But he turned down the qualifying offer of $17.8 million, so he's not feeling all too good with his – I would not be overly thrilled with Boris right now if I was him. But I'm sure Boris is spinning it in a way. It's like, well, there's a reason these things happen.
No, he's totally messed up this offseason for a lot of his players.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't, I have no idea what the dollars are for Cargo. Is Cargo a Boris client?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they all are. The default setting is he's a Boris client.
So he's probably.
If they haven't signed yet, they're a Boris client.
Well, yeah, Arrieta hasn't signed yet.
Yeah.
He's a Boris client. Did you hear the Arrieta rumor about the Padres all of a sudden out of the blue yesterday?
Like, sure, why not?
Yeah, let's throw some more money at mediocrity for another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Then they'll be good.
Again, and losing draft picks, too? Like, they're going to give up draft. What are they doing?
They're so stocked. They don't need them.
Okay.
Number one minor league system.
No. Well, number two behind the Braves. But here's the thing. Ask the Cubs if you don't need all those draft picks. Look at that Cubs farm system. That is trash.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And, like, because you do run out. You trade and you bring people up, and then what's coming next? Well, now for the Cubs, almost nothing. Now, granted, there's nowhere for anyone to play if they were in the Cubs system, you know, in terms of major leagues. But still, you know, something to think about. Or not think about it.
Or not. Just give up.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat.
And then Cargo's going back to the Rockies, allegedly. And by the time this gets up, it'll probably be a done deal. But this is another one of those things where I think the price is so low, and the Rockies have a little bit of... they kind of have like one position open, right? They have like three outfielders and a first base position, right? They have four positions and they have four guys. Is it four guys? Anyway, they have room to acquire a free agent, and they might even acquire one more, but they have room to acquire a free agent. So get Cargo for $6 million. That's a great deal.
Yeah, not the big money that he was anticipating. That's crazy.
It's such a weird market because it's, you know, again, like we saw the beginning of this. We saw this midseason last season when JD Martinez was traded for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in previous years, that would have been like, wow, one of the best hitters available, that's going to get you a great prospect. And it basically was just like, here's a couple of lottery tickets that might turn into something, but probably won't. Weird times, man. It's weird. It's because there's just so many teams who are just like, why should I spend money if we don't really feel like we're competing?
Yeah, it's like we'll rebuild, we'll go the draft route, we'll tank again.
And again, it's not even necessarily tanking, because in baseball, baseball's a little different than basketball. Basketball, like the talent distribution. Well,
the tanking usually occurs
so quickly.
Yeah, the tanking in baseball usually occurs in the preseason.
Right.
You make the decision that you're going to rebuild.
Right.
And you know, it's not like, well, we thought we would be a 500 team, so let's just, you know, race to the bottom. Baseball teams don't necessarily do that.
Right.
But they give up before the season starts, which is great for fans. Like, oh, I guess we're rebuilding, so we won't be competitive for another 2-3 seasons minimum. So we'll see how that plays out. So let's see what else we got here. I don't even know anything about this, the Cardinals signing. What happened there?
With what Cardinals signing?
You have agreed a record deal with DeJong.
DeJong.
Don't even know who he is.
Kim DeJong Un.
DeJong. Is it DeJong? DeJong? DeJong or DeJong?
DeJong.
DeJong.
That's how I'm told it's pronounced by the corporate office of Jed Incorporated.
So what's the deal with him? Record deal?
Record deal for a player without a full year of experience.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So I think it's like, you know, I think Tim Anderson got this deal last year. He set the record with the White Sox. They signed him to an extension before he had played a full year. And the interesting thing about DeJong is I was kind of down on him in fantasy baseball. Like, oh, he probably won't repeat. But to see the Cardinals go basically all in on him, I don't know. Maybe I've got to take a look at his numbers again and see if I missed something in there. Like, I thought he was just kind of a fluky guy that ran into a bunch of home runs with the new ball.
Well, he's projected at 22 home runs, 60 RBIs.
Yeah.
That's nothing to...
But maybe that should be a little higher. Maybe that RBI should be a little higher. Maybe the batting average should be a little higher. Anyway, something I got to take a look at in fantasy baseball. I don't think I would keep him, go after him in like an on-base percentage league. A league that focuses on that instead of batting average, just because I think his on-base percentage is kind of poopy. But anyway, this is the same team that hired Mike Matheny to manage it and keeps him employed. So maybe they don't know what they're doing.
According to baseballreference.com, it's DeJong is the correct pronunciation.
Okay, good.
So, you know, for all you...
What are you, DeJong?
Okay, let's move on. I thought this was interesting, too. Aaron Judge is a one and done with the home run derby.
Yeah. Did he win?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. I honestly, I don't remember because it doesn't matter. But I do remember that it was a little bit more spectacle this time than there
was. Yeah, it was previously a big competition between Stanton and Judge. It was quite the show. But as has happened numerous times before, a player competes in the home run derby and then tanks for the next month and a half which is
Who was it? Bobby Abreu. Remember he won one and then just...
His career was over.
His whole career fell apart after the home run
derby. It was in Pittsburgh. I remember that.
What did you do?
He had something like 27 home runs in the one of the rounds. And
it was staggering.
Yeah,
and then he just completely fell apart as a hitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judge had, I think, after the derby, he went for the rest of July and August, only hit like 6 or 7 home runs, and then had 15 home runs in September.
Yeah.
Kind of got the swing back, but that's probably why he's decided not to do the home run.
The guy's got all the endorsement deals he needs now. Yeah. He doesn't need to go and showcase himself at the home run derby. So we'll see who else. Let someone else step up and swing for the fences.
Well, it's just like the NBA All-Star game with the slam dunk competition. You're like, who are these guys? I've never even heard of half the players that are, there's only, I think, 6 that do it now, or 4 or something like that.
Right, but you can still cut that number in half. That's still divisible by 2.
Yeah. We'll get it down
here
to
on
one.
Math Corner. Foul Territory presents Math Corner, brought to you by Snapple.
There we go. There's Snapple. We got it. I was waiting for
official
the Snapple.
Official non-sponsor, babe.
Yeah. Eventually, we're going to reel them in. They're going to catch the wave.
Given it, what's that thing about death? Given a long enough timeline, something like that? There's a long thing, right? Given
even the clocks right twice a day?
No. given a long enough... What's the line here? On a long enough timeline, the survival rate for everyone drops to 0.
That's good. We'll get there.
So on a long enough timeline, the Snapple rate drops to 100%.
They're listening.
Does it drop to 100? You know what we got to do is we got to blast these guys on social media. We got to say, hey, look, we're out there selling your product. We've set up a whole rewards program which obligates you financially towards your consumers that we have no legal right to do.
I'll bet you someone who's listened to this has had that little gnawing voice in the back of their head the next time they're in a checkout line or for fast food. They're like, I think I'll get a Snapple.
And then they're like, maybe I should stop listening to these jerk-offs. Maybe these guys are full of it.
Enough of the Snapple.
Why do I waste my time? They did 5 minutes on Snapple in the last episode. What the hell's the matter with them? What does that have to do with baseball? I'll tell you what it has to do with baseball. Snapple is the official iced tea beverage of baseball.
There you go. So we can talk about Snapple every single time.
And we will.
There's a connection. There's a connection. And with that, I say Devin Travis. let's see. And who was the other guy we were talking about? Now I'm forgetting who it was.
Devin Travis. Devin? Are you trying to do the Sin Chu Chu?
Yes, that's who it was, yeah. Travis and Chu.
Sin Chu.
Chu. Bless you.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. I think I just read this morning that another ulnar nerve was damaged by a Rays pitcher. So potentially another Tommy John victim. Yeah.
De Leon last week was Honeywell, right?
Yeah, and he was a top prospect, right?
Yeah, he was a top 20.
Yeah.
He looked awesome. He looked like he was coming up this year for to do some business.
Apparently
I
not.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
He'll be enjoying a lot of Snapple from his armchair watching baseball games this year.
He'll be recovering from Tommy John and De Leon. What's his name? James De Leon? No. Rafael De Leon? No. Jose De Leon.
There you go.
Hey, third time's a charm, right? Anyway, yeah. So Jose De Leon, who they got from the Dodgers for Logan Forsyth. Tommy John. So the Rays are looking at doing a 4-man rotation this year.
Hmm.
Which is interesting that they're still holding to this, even with their pitchers dropping left and right, because like, oh, okay, this will probably help their arms. They have they want to do the modified 4, which is basically you do 4 starting pitchers, 1, 2, 3, 4. If there's a day off in there, they just take the split and they count that as a starting pitcher. The day off counts as a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they have 5 games in a row, they just use relievers to get through the 5th game.
Right.
This is one of the stupidest ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the stupid ideas in baseball, especially, like, how do you think, like, Lance Lynn is feeling about this? Or, Alex Cobb, who's a free agent, was on the Rays last year, like, hey, just sign me.
Right.
I'll pitch on your fifth day.
I could be an innings eater for you.
You don't have to reinvent baseball. You just give me $8 million and I'll pitch for you.
Yeah, and especially since the trend is to pay these relief pitchers a boatload of money. So all of a sudden you have a bloated bullpen.
It's a bloatload of money.
It is. It's good. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that before. A bloatload. Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, you're a clever man.
Oh, thanks, John.
Okay, let's see what else we got. I'm so excited about this one, though.
This should have been our top story.
Yeah, the D-backs are bringing back the bullpen card. Is it going to be one of the ones with the hats on the top? Remember those back in the 70s?
Those
were awesome.
Put corporate logos on it. I don't care. Trick it out, though. I want to see like a Rose Parade float coming out from the bullpen. Like legitimate monstrosity of awesomeness. Hell, put 100 corporate logos on it. And then soon it's going to be drones. Can you even imagine how awesome it will be when you drone in a relief pitcher? People complain about lengths of games, but if you drone in a relief pitcher, John, people will not care. They're like, oh no, the starting pitcher's getting tired. Take him out. Replace him.
Right, and they'll look up from their phones.
They'll look up from their phones, and they will see a human man being transported by a drone from the bullpen to the mound.
Brought to you by Amazon.
Then the drone will fly around and destroy all of humanity.
That's going to be with our pinball baseball, remember? That'll be a part of it. The drone and the drone attacks.
Hold on a second, John. The drone stays over the field. If a player hits the drone, 2 home runs.
There you go. Is the drone moving or stationary?
Maybe we put up 3.
There you go. One in each left, center, and right. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if the drone catches the ball over the home run fence, the outfield wall, that's an out.
That is an out.
And not only that, but the batter who hit it is sentenced to execution.
That's the softball player, the extra guy in the outfield.
Yeah, what's it called? The Rover.
The Rover.
Yeah.
I like it. I think we should approach.
John, we just cured baseball.
I think we did. Make it fun. Bring those
Now
bring
they're
those
finally
going to
start making
in.
Some money.
Yeah, the millennials will start coming out in droves.
We just turned them into a $1 trillion business, John.
Baseball is big. Okay, here's another. I mean, this is kind of going deep into the transaction and wire here. Rangers agree to terms with Julio Pablo Martinez.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, John. I probably wouldn't have left that transaction on our list of things to discuss.
Is there a
joke? If I'd been paying attention. No, there's no. It's just this is a cool player, but like this is when there hadn't been that much going on in the week. So it's kind of like, all right, we got to talk about something.
This was your number one bullet on Monday.
Look, I'm interested in this signing. I think this player is a good player, but I don't think I have anything funny to say about it other than like, hey, go Rangers. I don't know. But, yeah, so let's go on to the next thing. But anyway, all that stuff we were talking about where they were trading for international money and they signed this guy. So all the things that we thought were going to happen happened.
So that's what they did with that money. Okay, got it. Oh, is this the Cuban refugee? That's not refugee. It's what do they call it when they leave?
Expatriate. I don't know
whatever they call it. Doesn't matter. Let's see. This one is kind of like interesting. You know, baseballs are going to be treated awfully nice. They're going to get a nice poolside view or oceanfront view with air conditioning for the 2018 season. We're spoiling baseballs.
First of all, John. So they're going to be all baseballs are going to be stored in an air-conditioned room. Now, I assume that they mean a different air-conditioned room at each stadium because just the logistics of getting baseballs from all around the country if they're all in one room. So let's just assume it's...
Each team has
different,
a room.
Each team has its own refrigerated room of baseballs. First of all, I can't live anywhere without air conditioning.
I'm with you.
So that's just a non-starter. And why is it that it's 2018 and we've only now realized that, wait a second, maybe these balls should all be actually treated exactly the same scientifically? Like, maybe it was the Deflategate stuff where it's like, oh, yeah, because that was pretty sloppy, too. Like, the way they handled all that stuff before,
yeah, every team before nothing happened
with the Patriots.
Right.
It was kind of loosey-goosey. Like, well, we just put them over here, and it gets cold, and who cares? It doesn't really matter because it's just the – here's just the temperature of the locker room, and then, okay, good, now it's the temperature of the stadium. This is a thing that, like – okay, for fantasy – this is all I care about this. For fantasy baseball, now you don't know how everyone is going to perform this next year. We already don't know, right? We already don't know. But you can speculate. And you can guess, like, oh, well, he hit 30 home runs last year. He's going to hit 27 to 33 home runs this year. That's law of averages, right? Maybe he hits 40, maybe it's 20 due to blah, 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 blah. But now, across the league, teams are going to be working with baseballs. And I want to just say balls. The teams are going to be working with balls. You're going to see players playing with these balls, and they don't even know – cold balls, but here's the thing. They won't be cold, but they will be treated the same. So they'll have the same amount of moisture from all the balls in all the stadiums will have the same amount of moisture, the same amount of core temperature from everyone's balls will be the same, John. And now, I don't want to say this is a dystopian future, but if everyone's balls are the same, then does that mean that everyone's children are the same? All right, moving on. Okay, that's a whole separate thing. But anyway, it's just an interesting thing because, like, look, we know that the humidor is going in at Chase Field in Arizona, and that's supposed to suppress run production, or suppress scoring. So the pitchers should be better than we thought they were going to be. But then does making the balls refrigerated, which would give them a little bit of more moisture, does that do something for the balls in Florida? Like, will the balls in Florida actually be drier and then create more offense in Florida? We don't know.
We don't. And will they be in this cold storage facility until a certain time before the game, or will they be in a refrigerator?
I assume they're going to bring that fridge right on out to the pitcher's mound.
Just have it like a, you know, one of
those. It's going to be like a big vending machine.
Like a Snapple.
The catcher's going to have a bunch of quarters, and he's going to be sticking them in the machine. All right, we need three baseballs for this one. All right, good. Yeah, so that's 75 cents each, guys. All right. Hey, Blue, you got 25 cents? You got to change for a dollar? I'm telling you, this is the wave of the future, John. You got drones carrying humans around, catching fly balls, hitting home runs. You got vending machines shooting baseballs out at the pitcher.
Cold balls.
I'm telling you. We just turned it into a quadrillion-dollar industry.
Right. It's cool. I would go to a baseball game with drones and vending machines and pinball.
Yeah, but then you want your safety nets up, right?
No, take them down.
No, safety, John. That's crazy talk.
I think we should move fans closer to the field. Take down all the netting. It's a free for all. That'll get everybody to get their phones out of their noses out of their phones. You're going to be right next to the players.
I like it. Also, no one will attend except for you, but that'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go sit in the upper deck.
Wear like a bulletproof vest, bring some sort of shield.
Yeah, just shielding. Yeah, the motorcycle helmet. I'm good.
Yeah, you could dress like a SWAT guy.
Let's go to the ball game.
Yeah, and you could have like team logo on it, right? Yeah. Like go Marlins. My
the
SWAT
official,
uniform.
The official Kevlar vest of Major League Baseball.
Exactly right.
That's good. Okay, new tax law could affect MLB player trades. Again, I didn't hear anything about this one. Is that...
This is why did I have that Julio Pablo Martinez thing? Like, there's so many things happening in baseball this week. So the new tax law, right, which is... I know a lot of people on the left thought this was a terrible idea, and some people on the right thought it was a terrible idea for other reasons. But the fact is it's generated a lot of money for people, right? But one of the little glitches of this tax law is that the law that basically said that, well, players are traded and we don't have to pay taxes on the exchange of goods between companies.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that law has been tweaked by the new tax code. And so there may actually be a tax for trading players. And this is not just baseball. This is all professional sports. Mm-hmm. So my guess is they find a way to get around it or do like a quick amendment so that it's not a thing. But this is something that actually could affect, like if the Rays are looking to trade Chris Archer, will they have to pay a tax on what they get back, on what they give up, on the So then like all of a sudden it's like, well, we want to trade this player, but it's going to cost us $1 million to trade him. So we'll just hang on to him till the end of the season. Interesting. Could be something like the air-conditioned balls. Who knows where this is going?
Could change the game.
It could change the game ever so slightly. I mean, always, there's always going to be like the Yankees or the Dodgers who are like, yeah, fine, whatever. We'll just pay the tax.
We'll just pay. No big deal.
Yeah. But if you look at these teams who are like, look, especially like the Rays who are like, oh, we got rid of Steven Souza and replaced him with Carlos Gomez for $1 million less.
Yeah, and then you have to pay $1 million tax, and then you're netted out. Yeah,
exactly. Boom, you just keep Steven Souza. They're stuck with Steven Souza.
So the MLBPA is shutting down the free agent training camp as of today, I believe.
Yeah.
So all those unsigned players that are enough to fill a 25-man roster.
Which is still so weird. They're good players, too. Arrieta, Lynn. I mean, I guess Moustakas is off the market. Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
Poor Mike Moustakas. Sorry, honey, I came home with $10 million less a year than I thought. Okay, but at least we're set up for life, right? We're set up. It's a long-term contract like Eric Hosmer got, the player who's basically the same value as you. We got that deal, right, honey? Well, thing about that is, if I get injured next season, I won't make any more money ever, and this is all we have.
So we're going to have to make $6.5 million, stretch it out, make it work.
I'm just saying there's a big difference between stretching out $6.5 million and stretching out $85 million.
Sure. No, I thought for sure he was going to, you know, get a much better deal than that.
It's
and even
honestly,
Logan
it's,
Morrison
it's
did better.
Even Logan Morrison, well, not really.
Yeah, about the same.
But, you know, you and I have talked about this. I think he should have taken the thing beforehand, the qualifying offer, and gone into the market next year with Harper, with Machado. Right. And then whoever misses out on him, on them, then you come in and you say, yeah, but look how awesome I am. And I'm like 80% of what they are, and you can get me for 60%.
Yeah. And I think that's probably his mentality is, but this year he has to perform well and not get hurt.
Well, his mentality right now is he's crying.
Right. He's sobbing into
his
pillow at night.
However,
he left $10 million on the table. More or less.
Unless he blows out his ACL again like he did a couple years ago.
Yeah, so that would be the big downfall. It will be a tragic story.
Yeah.
If he gets hurt. Especially if he
offers
like,
you $18 million. Like say, how do you
say he
no?
puts up big numbers through August and midway through September he blows out a knee?
Yeah.
That would be awful.
Yeah. And then maybe he recovers for the next year. Scrapes together a few million in a 2020 deal. Like, oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, and then he's
the
33, 34 years old, and it's over.
Yeah.
It'll be a made-for-TV
movie. Playing in
Japan.
He's, like, selling his memorabilia for, you know, at the card show.
Right. Okay, this one, was this another one of those? This was an interesting one, though. Cubs were dropped as a defendant by a suing fan who was blinded by a foul ball at Wrigley.
Well, look, honestly, I don't care about this, but you always care so much about the netting that I put this story in.
Oh, did you?
I like to hear you get all riled up about the netting.
Because the fan wasn't paying attention and they're suing? Like, I was busy,
yeah.
You know, Facebooking and I got hit in the eye with a ball?
Yeah. And he's blind in one eye now. But I thought it was interesting that I thought it was interesting that the judge dropped the Cubs from the as a defendant. They got rid of them because it's explicit in law that like they can't be held liable.
Mm-hmm. So it's Major League Baseball's issue.
So now the lawyer and the judge is kind of like, okay, I kind of get this, maybe sorta. Like the MLB is responsible for this in a way, establishing a general marketplace attitude, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're not going to win anything.
It's a good story.
Yeah. Anyway, but they dropped the Cubs, but MLB is, they didn't, the judge didn't drop MLB. It's interesting. See where it goes.
So we're going to put up netting. We're just basically going to play inside a bubble. Fans can look inside.
Well, that's
inside
what this guy wants.
Globe.
The good news is this guy probably won't be going to many more baseball games.
Probably not. So,
fitting the herd is what it's called.
He'll be watching with one eye on TV. Let's see. Last but not least for this week's headlines, Major League Baseball now owns a sports book. Is this a Vegas thing?
No, here's the deal. Major League Baseball is an investor in DraftKings. DraftKings just hired a director of sportsbook. They are looking to open a sportsbook. So technically, Major League Baseball now owns a sportsbook.
Wow.
So you got to figure if they're
Pete Rose
if DraftKings
feel
is
like,
going down
hey.
That. I know, right? He's the new commissioner. He's like, guys. I'm right here.
Yeah,
but I never bet on games.
He's got to be like,
I didn't touch that teenage girl.
Wait a second. I thought I was being penalized for betting. What's the deal, Major League Baseball? Yeah, DraftKings is a moneymaker for sure. That's a big time. I think it's big time
is
money.
Is it, though?
Tons of people that play that. It's crazy.
I know, but I think that they're not doing well.
Oh, really?
Like they were talking about merging the two, DraftKings and.
Well, I just
and no one cares, John.
Yeah,
who
I
cares?
Don't really care. Yeah.
God,
starting
who
nine.
Who cares?
Yeah, we go off on tangents like that. We could have spent 15 minutes talking about that.
I lost track of what I was saying as I was saying it, John.
Let's move along. Starting nine.
Let's move it.
I'm excited about this. I already know one of the players that's going to be named in this one for sure.
Okay.
But National Cereal Day. So we've got, was that this week or coming up or today or when?
So that was yesterday.
That would be yesterday.
Yeah,
so,
that was yesterday.
So nine players that have cereal names.
And I was going to do one for International Women's Day, but I couldn't think of any international women that people would know.
Right. Off the top. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Well, yeah. Like, well, who do you know that's an international woman? Anne Frank.
Well, I guess they would, you know, any. It depends on what side of the globe you're on, because, you know, international women in the U.S. would be international to somebody not in the U.S.
Right. So, like, to our listeners in Canada, which, by the way, we have. Take off, hosers. but don't take off. Keep listening. We need all the listeners we can get. So we'll pour out some maple syrup for our 40 ounces of maple syrup for our Canadian listeners. Anyway, so yeah, so technically Americans would be international to them, but most of our listeners are American, and I'd like to keep that in mind when we're doing this. So I did cereal instead. National Cereal Day, Brett Honeywell Combs.
Okay. Delicious.
Right? Honeycombs, one of my favorite, by the way.
I loved them as a kid.
Big, big taste. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that was the commercial, something like that. Honeycomb, good. Go, go, something like that. Anyone?
Sounds good.
All right. Carter Capstain Crunch.
That's good.
Mark Appel Jacks.
That's a good one.
Apple Jacks, that's my number one.
Yeah.
For those listening, you want to send in to the show, Apple Jacks. Victor Fruity Robles.
That's good.
Almost. This was also a little stretch. Nate Carnes Flakes.
Carnes Flakes, good. Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah. Okay, this one's awful. Lucky-on Broxton Charms. Lucky Charms. Uh-huh. Keon Broxton.
Stretch, but a good. You're making it work.
That's Jose Chirios. Who doesn't love their Cheerios cereal, John?
That's good. I'll have Twin Cities will have a promo day.
Yeah, delicious. And they'll have drones shooting
Cheerios everywhere.
Shooting Cheerios. And not in boxes, just Cheerios, loose Cheerios.
That's good.
Robbie Ray Zin Bran.
Oh, that's awesome. Love that.
Yeah.
Good.
Bryce Crispy's Harper.
Okay.
And lastly, Wei Tees Yin Chen.
That's good. That's good.
Who is technically still in the league, even if he's not pitching?
He's at the Marlins. Is he Marlins? Yeah, yeah. Right? Or no, he was, but not. I don't know.
He,
I don't know
is he is technically, but I don't but know he if he's coming back.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
Issues.
Signed and then never did anything. Pitched half a season, I think.
Yeah.
Making money.
Yeah. Part of that big offseason that the Marlins had was it last year, right? Where they got all those relievers kind of just.
Was it last year or 2 years ago they got him?
Last year or 2 years ago.
Whatever it was. They're not relevant, so what does it matter?
They're irrelevant, John.
I thought Coco Crisp would be on there in some way, shape, or form.
But he's not in the league.
Oh, he's not playing?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not in the league. That's the easy one, right? Because it's Coco Puffs. It's right. Cookie Crisp.
Is he retired or is he waiting down in Homestead with everybody else?
I think he hasn't played in a couple years, yeah. No, that's the easy one, of course,
Okay, let's move on to Around the Horn.
Let's do it.
So when we go around the horn, visit every single team.
All around
team.
The league.
And this,
every team.
Yeah, this week's topic is who on each one of the teams has a shot at winning some postseason hardware, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And we're not going to do managers, just new players, because managers are crapshoot.
Right,
anyway,
that's
and executives and whatever.
So we're talking
so the three
awards
biggies. That are possible, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you have a list or just off the cuff again?
This is all off the top of my head.
Okay, this is, makes it interesting. And begin. Braves.
Okay, Rookie of the Year, Ronald Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
He's the prohibitive favorite right now.
Yes, he's having a decent spring.
And Freddie Freeman has an outside shot at MVP.
Outside shot.
He's that good a hitter.
But he had a hand injury, was it, that he's bouncing back from? So
yeah, so he's kind of recovering from that. But the 162 games he played, which is a full season, before that injury was, like, incredible. Like, if you know, goes covering two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But that 162-game stretch was, like, that's an MVP season. So if he can do that in a full season, that's an MVP.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Mets.
Syndergaard could definitely be, he's blowing 101 now. We were talking last week about 100. Now he's blowing 101. Yeah. He struck out like seven Nationals.
He's leaving it all on the field for sure.
He is ready to go, man. He is geeked up. Can you imagine if he was a closer?
Oh, yeah.
I know you should keep him as a starter for value and all that
up,
stuff.
Yeah.
But woo!
Yeah, and he's hitting 101 as a starter. It's like, yeah, we only need you for, you know, to throw 15, 20 pitches.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I'll clock in at 103, 104, no problem.
I mean, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
With movement, too. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not a straight line. Oh, man. Sexy time. Anyway, that's all the Mets have.
Phillies.
Aaron Nola is a sneaky backdoor for the Cy Young because he's improving every year. And the Cy Young is a little bit more fluid, I think, than MVP when it comes to pitchers. I mean, Rick Porcello won a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to necessarily be like the best pitcher.
Right.
It can be the guy who, well, a couple other guys got injured and he pitched all year and his numbers were a little better than we thought. But I think Aaron Nola, and I don't think they really have an MVP candidate, though I think Rhys Hoskins may develop into that in the next couple of years.
Yeah. How about the Nationals?
Well, I mean, they're stacked. So they have Bryce Harper as a MVP candidate, Anthony Rendon as sort of a dark horse. I think Trey Turner is an MVP fantasy baseball guy, but I don't think that translates to the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are like Bryce Harper and Trey Turner are both first round draft picks in fantasy baseball. So is Max Scherzer. And Steven Strasburg is like a second-round draft pick. So you have Strasburg and Scherzer for Cy Young, Harper and really just Harper, but Trey Turner could pull a thing, and Anthony Rendon could pull a thing as well.
How about the Marlins?
Unfortunately,
zero.
They have zero. They have no. You know what? That's not true. Lewis Brinson, Rookie of the Year.
Could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be Rookie of the Year. That's a good hitter. And if they don't, if they just let him come up and hit, and he plays the whole year, he could be the have the best numbers.
And who's the pitcher they got from the Cardinals? Was it the Cardinals? Alcantara.
Alcantara. Yeah. Alcantara. People think he's going to be a reliever, but the Marlins are going to try him out as a starter just to make sure, because you always want to make sure they're not going to be a starter, unless someone really excels as a reliever, then you just leave him there. Like the Red Sox messed that up with Daniel Bard. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be a starter. They brought him in. They brought him up, and he was a lights-out reliever and closer. And then they're like, okay, good. Well, we're going to make him a starter again just to try it, just to see if we can get some more quote-unquote value. He completely crashed and burned as a starter and then as a reliever.
That's not good for your career.
A great example is the right way to do it is the Toronto Blue Jays. Who's the guy? Roberto Osuna?
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be a starter, and they put him in the bullpen, and he was so good they made him the closer, and he was so good at the closer, they're just like, you know what? You're just going to be our great closer for now.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. You do it. If they're doing it great, just leave them there.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a good strategy.
Thank you.
You should be a GM.
Okay.
Red Sox.
Okay, Red Sox. So, obviously Mookie Betts is your MVP candidate. JD Martinez, outside chance. Okay chance. Like, if he hits 60 home runs and gets 130 RBIs, it'd be hard to ignore him even as a DH or a part-time left fielder. And then Chris Sale is the Cy Young candidate for them.
Not Rick Porcello?
No. Well, I mean, technically, right?
Technically, yeah. Been there, done that.
But then we're listing every pitcher on every team.
Right. How about the Yankees?
Severino has a chance to go up a notch and become a Cy Young. And then, of course, you have Stanton and Judge for MVP on the offense.
No rookies?
Pretty awesome.
Gleyber Torres, if he comes
Gleyber Torres could be Rookie of the Year. And Miguel Andujar could put up enough numbers. I think his defense is a little weak, but he could put up enough numbers to... Wait, do the Red Sox have a rookie this year? No, because...
Devers doesn't qualify.
Anymore. I mean, Michael Chavis... But it would be really hard to see him getting time on it. Like, Hanley would have to get injured, and then they'd have to. I think they'd even have to lose out on what's the guy I have at first base there?
Moreland.
Yeah, Moreland. Yeah. But Chavis is probably their best bet at a Rookie of the Year.
Okay, Blue Jays. Yeah.
Okay, so I think Teoscar Hernandez is still rookie eligible, and I'm very excited about that player. They got him from the Astros. So there's your Rookie of the Year. Starting pitching, no. No. And then Josh Donaldson, I think, is always an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm. Orioles.
Okay.
Anyone?
Austin Hayes could be Rookie of the Year. He's a very good player, and if they give him the time, he could be a very good player. It's a little on-base percentage problem. He doesn't walk quite enough. But he has always hit so well at every league that he's played in that maybe it was sort of like, well, I don't need to walk because I'm hitting 350.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can see when it's a good pitch to hit. So, all right. So he's their best Rookie of the Year. What else we got there? MVP, Manny Machado. But I think he's going to wind up getting traded. And then no pitchers for Cy Young.
The Rays.
Chris Archer, Cy Young.
Every year he's a Cy Young candidate.
He is a Cy Young candidate. If he can get that ERA down with all those strikeouts, he could be a Cy Young. MVP, I don't think they have an MVP caliber player on their team. But Rookies of the Year, Willie Adames is a possibility, and Jake Bowers is a possibility.
You're well-versed in your Rookie of the Year candidates.
I've got verses, man.
Pirates.
Pirates don't have a starting pitcher. I mean, Jameson Taillon looked like he was heading towards that, but I don't think he didn't get better last year, and he was having all kinds of injury problems, and that's probably the closest guy they have to like a great starting pitcher, but he's not great. And then Rookie of the Year, they got Austin Meadows. Is Colin Moran a rookie? He might still be a rookie. He's going to play third base all year. He could win Rookie of the Year. And no MVP candidates. I mean, Starling Marte, maybe, but they're not going to give it to him because of the steroids, right?
Right.
I mean, even if he hits like 25 home runs and steals 80 or whatever, he could. I always like Gregor Polanco. Is it Gregor or Gregory Polanco?
Whatever.
I'm thinking of Gregor Blanco and Gregory Polanco. Right. I always like him. The last year had a little bit of a down year. What else?
Cardinals.
So Ozuna is a possibility for MVP. That's not really that awesome an offense, right? It's just sort of like steady all the way across.
That's what they do every year.
Yeah. Well, they had Pujols, right? Yeah. Like that was we all have Pujols, though. starting pitcher. I don't think they have. I think Alex Reyes could develop into he's also a Rookie of the Year candidate. He could develop into a Cy Young guy, but I think they just have like solid pitching this year. Luke Weaver, good, but nothing great.
Cubbies.
So Cubs have, I guess you've got like legitimate Rizzo and what's his name?
Bryant.
Chris Bryant. And then Javi Baez could make that leap in terms of ability. Like, he could hit like 30 home runs and get 30 stolen bases and hit 300 and hit 120 RBIs with insanely good defense. That's an MVP possibility there too. That's, again, outside chance, right? Like that Anthony Rendon level. Mm-hmm. You know, like Dustin Pedroia won MVP one year. Like, to talk shit about.
The stars need to align for that. Yeah,
things need to align. Like, players need to underperform, blah, blah, blah. And then I would say Darvish is really the only, I guess Quintana, but Quintana doesn't really put together, like, MVP seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, like, that next tier down for him.
Brewers.
What do you say on this horn we just go through the National League?
Okay. We can do that.
And then the next horn, we can do the rest of the league. This is taking a little longer. Yeah. Brewers. Okay, so outside guys, Yelich is a possibility. Kane is a possibility. Those are like super outside. Travis Shaw is outside. I don't think they have like the guy right now. Mm-hmm. Though Domingo Santana, like, first of all, they need to figure out where everyone's playing.
Right.
Step number one.
That they would do well with the softball league.
Yeah. And I don't think they have any starting pitcher that's even worth mentioning. And I don't think that they have any rookies coming up, though they do have some minor league players that are very impressive.
How about the Reds?
Okay, so Reds, their best pitcher is Luis Castillo, right? The guy they got from the Marlins, traded him away
via the Padres disaster.
Yeah, the Straley thing, right? So Luis Castillo is probably there. But, I mean, he's not in the top 100 players. So is that really? And then Votto is your MVP guy. And then minor league guy, Rookie of the Year guy, is Nick Senzel.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be a good I think they're going to call him up possibly even to play shortstop, even though he's a third baseman. Because if you're the Reds, who cares, right? Who cares? Who cares if the shortstop has, he's not as good defensively as we had hoped. Like, these are all kids. Like, let him play. Let him work stuff out. Move him over to, you got Eugenio Suarez over at third. Don't want to get rid of him for no reason. Anyway, that's my guess for them. That's the end of the National League.
Yeah, Joey Votto, man. Two votes shy of winning the MVP last year. That was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
He's a great, great player.
Yeah, consistent year in, year out.
Crappy team.
Yeah, horrible team. And he's like, I'm good. Making boatloads of money.
He does seem like he's pretty chill about it.
Good. I'm okay. Yeah, because I know there was talk about moving him. And he's like, I don't want to leave. I like it here.
Right.
So he's happy. Fat and happy. Well, not fat and happy, but.
Svelte and happy.
I was trying to think of a. Svengali. He's Svelte and Svengali in Cincy.
Sure.
I can't think of another SV. Is there any other SV words? I don't think there are.
No.
So that
will about the move on.
So we'll wrap up around the horn with a partial.
Yeah.
And because we did the NL East, the AL East, and the NL Central, and next week we'll finish up the rest of the league.
We did half the teams.
Half the teams. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to extra innings. Yeah. Take a look outside of the world of baseball. I thought this was interesting, the Peyton Manning selling off his Denver locations for Papa John Pizzas just days before the NFL announced it was hopping over to Pizza Hut.
Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up.
Insider
that's
trading.
Insider trading.
Man.
Look, ask Martha Stewart what this is about.
Right.
You're going to jail, Peyton Manning.
He could be.
But that's the patriarchy, man. He can do whatever he wants because he's a man. If it was Martha Stewart, boom, jail time.
Yeah, it's like Martha Stewart was what, like community service? Not community, but like...
she was in jail.
Yeah, it was the country club jail.
But still, she was in jail.
Right, incarcerated.
I'm incarcerated, Lloyd.
Orange is
Remember
the new black.
From Say Anything?
Right.
It's one of my favorite lines in that movie. I know, I gave her my heart, she gave me a pen. My favorite line is, I'm incarcerated, Lloyd.
That's good. That's a 2 weeks in a row Say Anything reference.
Hey, it's a great film. I have a signed DVD from Cameron Crowe.
Oh.
Where he has a speech bubble coming up from John Cusack on the front of the DVD. And he says, happy birthday, Jed.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cute.
Is it framed?
No, it's just a DVD.
Yeah, still could have it framed.
But it's the only DVD that I have now because I'm digital.
You're a digital guy?
Yeah, I'm a digital guy. Yeah, I'm like the lawnmower man, except the part before where he got smart.
I don't know the reference. I never saw the movie.
You don't know The Lawnmower Man?
Never saw it.
John, how can we be doing a podcast about baseball and you don't know The Lawnmower Man, which has nothing to do with baseball?
I have no idea. I've heard of the movie. I don't.
Pierce Brosnan and then that other guy who was The Lawnmower Man who did some work. Who looks?
It's a good movie.
Jeff Fahey. Is it Jeff Fahey?
Got me, man.
Jeff Fahey. I'm going to go with Jeff Fahey.
I've heard
Fahey.
The title. I don't know anything about the movie.
No, he's like a mentally challenged guy that does lawn mowing in the neighborhood. And then Pierce Brosnan hooks him up to a supercomputer and makes him smart.
Oh. And it's a good movie?
No. I mean, it's one of those Stephen King movies that wasn't that quite that good.
So it's a Stephen King connection for you. You're a Stephen King fan.
I wouldn't say that I'm a Stephen King fan because I didn't like that movie, but I recognize his existence in the pantheon of pop culture.
And he's a Red Sox fan.
And he's a Red Sox fan.
There you go. How about some Stormy Daniels news? She's pulling out all the stops saying, hey, you didn't sign the agreement, and I'm going to talk. So she's suing Donald Trump.
She's suing Donald Trump, but I'm not sure if she knows how non-disclosure agreements work. She's the one that needs to sign it. If she received the money, that's a done deal.
I'm sure. I think I'm what sure they're doing here. She has legal counsel that is probably
okay.
Guiding
I guess
and
lawyers in this.
Her.
Have you seen Donald Trump's Ty Cobb related legal counsel? Look. Lawyers make mistakes, and the play here could be, well, let's get Trump to say, I did sign it, and let's acknowledge the existence of the non-disclosure agreement. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but the legally speaking, if the recipient signs it, and an attorney for the other person signs it, the attorney has what's called power of attorney. That lets a person sign for another person. Sometimes couples will have this, and they'll get a husband will get power of attorney to sign for their wife.
But my understanding was, and not that I follow this, I just saw something on it the other night, and it said that there was no signature. She has no signature whatsoever. It's blank on the document. They never got a response.
But if there's a signature on the check that she cashed, then it's a fully completed contract.
Yeah, I don't know the details.
The thing is, it's not a question of whether it's legally binding. You can sue over everything, John. Like, literally everything on the... I can sue you right now for false representation of weather knowledge. Like, weather... Like, knowledge about the weather. I can sue you for that.
Just try.
But it doesn't mean that it... I'm gonna! just to prove my point, I'm going to sue you, John. False representing weather facts.
Snapple, are you listening?
We will not sue Snapple. Though
they may sue us.
Slight cease chance they might sue us. They can cease and desist this, John. Well, what they can do is they can take a percentage of our earnings from this podcast.
That's fine. They can do that.
Which is right now at about, what, negative $200? Anyway.
Hosting fees.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to something.
But
even...
it's fun. It's fun. It's fun stuff to have the president of the United States involved in a legal turmoil with a porn star who's not at all trying to get attention.
Or two.
By the way. Or two. And then is... But also... is like the economy's doing great and he's may go denuclearize North Korea. Like that could actually happen. Like, I don't even know what to think about this guy. Like, is it crazy like a fox? Is it kind of just, it's kind of working out sort of dumb luck. Like it's just sort of like Forrest Gumping his way through this whole thing, or is
the implosion is nigh as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But people have been saying that for 2 years.
It's getting,
I've been saying it for 2 years
and worse.
And he just keeps being president and the country's doing better. And Obama's going to have a TV show on Netflix, which is cool to have a president be on a TV show and, or have a president who used to be on a TV show become president, and then the president becomes president, and then after he's president, he gets a TV show. And I'm just telling you, this TV show thing and presidents, look, whatever you think about Obama, the fact, the celebritification of him, I think, is inappropriate for politicians. Regardless of how many people think that he should adopt them, and that he, you know, him and Michelle are the ideal, whatever. Like, it's just weird. They're politicians. Like, we all grew up, John, we know politicians are awful. It's just shades of awful. 50 Shades of Awful, starring Stormy Daniels. Next.
The Bachelor final. Was that
yes.
The finale was this week or last week,
yeah,
or coming up? Or I don't ever follow this stuff.
John, we're not even going to get into it. Why? Because everyone else already has, and it is disturbing to me to see people in the online world and in the real world speak so strongly about rights for immigrants, the right to bear arms, political this, economic that, and then also just as passionately discussing The Bachelor.
Which I've never seen, so I'm
well, good for you, John. You are the rare exception. There are people who wish to be taken very seriously about their opinions on important things in the world, but also want to tell you all about how they're completely obsessed with The Bachelor. Can't do both. Sorry, people. Move along.
Move along. Yeah, I'm with that. Let's see. Last but not least for extra innings, China has a space lab that's rather large that's hurtling towards Earth.
It's 9.5 tons. This is a totally underreported story, John. There is a space lab that is currently in orbit, that is descending in orbit, and will crash on Earth. And it is 9.5 tons. Not to be confused with 9.5 weeks, the remake starring Stormy Daniels. 9.5 tons. Now, most of it's going to break up in the atmosphere, right? Like, that's, it's not, it doesn't, it's not built with heat shields and stuff. It's specifically designed to not survive reentry, starring Stormy Daniels. And, but.
That may be
one could say that Donald Trump did not survive reentry.
No. Or may
anyway,
not.
So they're not really sure where this thing's going to land or crash. They're, it's, anyway, but no one's talking about this. And they're, worst, the worst case scenario is they think that pieces as big as 200 pounds will crash to the Earth. And, you know, some of the space agencies are like, no, it'll all burn up in the atmosphere and nothing, you know, little, maybe little chunks. And one time someone got hit by debris and it gave them a bruise and you don't have to worry about anything.
Well, wasn't there a space shuttle that disintegrated upon reentry and it left a trail over several hundred miles of debris?
I think you're thinking of Stormy Daniels again.
Okay, well, that wraps up Extra Innings, but I think we have something new that we're going to start featuring moving forward.
That's right. It's a totally made-up thing. Coming up next on the Foul Territory channel, Holland Kalger takes a look at the world of advanced baseball analytics on his show, War, What Is It Good For?